better listen very carefully.
A good martial artist does not become tense, but ready.
Essentially, at this point, the fight is over.
So you pretty much flow with the goal.
Who is worthy to be trusted with the secret to limitless power?
I'm ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Bulletproof for BJJ podcast. I'm JT, and I'm here with the ever handsome Joseph Worthington.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Look at that hair.
I'm up there with Merengali and Rockhold.
Look at the.
You like that? Bit of product nice. In the hair. Good
product style.
Yeah. Let me tell you about that. I got sick of walking out of the barbershop and looking like every other fucking Irish concreter in town. You know, I'm like, why do I have to come in here and get the same fucking haircut as all the boys doing civil?
Of course.
You know?
I'm a YouTuber. Come on.
Shit.
Man, they play me in barbershops.
Grown-ass man these days. They play me in barbershops, right? The podcast was spotted on a screen next to fucking Muhammad Ali paraphernalia and shit. Amazing. Anyways, shout out to Barbers on Burke.
Yes.
In Melbourne. Thank you, guys.
We appreciate you.
But in any case, yes, I've gone with this new low fade look and a bit longer on top, and that necessitates product.
There you go.
And I'll be honest, I don't love it. Doesn't work for me, the product thing, because you don't want to show up to jits with a head full of like stuff.
No.
You know, so then you got to wash it. It's a bit of fuckery.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not easy looking good. What can I say?
It's the life of an Instagram model, an influencer. My friends, there is a thing that's been brought up to us many times. People would like us to talk on it. It's a bit of a faux pas, a taboo subject, you might say, which is gym politics relevant to old school versus new school. So let's break that down. What's that look like? We're talking about the old school loyalty, respect, honor. New school, wear whatever you want, show up, let's have some fun.
Stand and bang.
Yeah, something different.
May the best person win.
It's interesting because we were actually breaking this down between us, like what are the things, the benefits, and also what are the hallmarks of an old school gym? And why does this create friction? Because recently, some people we know have left their gym because they were told they were not a good cultural fit. They tried to have a conversation with the coach, and the coach is like, well, you just don't belong here. Like, not get out, but it was like, whoa. The pushback was like, you don't love us? Well, I don't love you. I dump you before you dump me. Just, I was like, oh, that's really mature.
But yeah.
It's kind of interesting because it is very difficult if you're fairly open-minded and you want to learn new things, but your coach isn't showing that. That can be quite a frustrating experience. Whereas if you're someone who doesn't care and you're like, oh, whatever the coach says, that's cool. The more old school thing might suit you.
Yeah.
So we're going to kind of, I guess, dig into and break down kind of pros and cons of both.
So to provide like a visual model for folks listening, if you're like, what, you know, if you're new to the thing and you're like, what is old school, new school? Old school is probably a gym. If you don't know what it is, then you've never been to such a gym.
Probably.
Right? But it's kind of like the all of the gyms that existed in the early 2000s here in Australia.
Sure, 90s or
later. Yeah, where it's like Gracie Baja or something where it's very structured and it's kind of like, you know, it doesn't change. And, you know, I'm not throwing shade on Gracie Bart because no. I know there are more progressive
ones. But even if you go to like Gracie Jiu-Jitsu as a brand.
Generally.
We know we have friends who own Gracie gyms. It doesn't mean they're all the same. But I guess it's this idea that this is how it was done at this time. This is how we do it now.
Yes.
And you stick to lineage. What we say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New school. B team.
Right? Maybe. Yeah.
YouTube channel, people coming through, you know, but just, you know, in terms of, and there's a lot, and B team's not the first place to do it, but they're the one that people see. But, you know, so to compare those two places is kind of what we're going to go into, right?
But also let's be clear, B team is a no gi exclusive gym, right? So you could go to a Gracie gym and do gi and no gi, right? So we're not just saying gi versus no gi. It's not
irrespective of that.
Yeah, well, like, for example, Absolute MMA, where I trained, they had a very open policy and that's why they grew. They said, if you're a brown belt and you're a black belt, you can come and train for free.
Yeah.
Just come. And what does that do? That attracts more brown belts and more black belts. So the other thing I guess we had identified in the pre-chat was talking about kind of like a fixed mindset versus a growth mindset. But we'll get into it.
Let's jump into it.
Let's get into it. So first thing out the gate, a strength of the old school, even though it's a double-edged sword, is this idea of loyalty. You train here. You don't train somewhere else because you're a crianche, you're a trader. You learn what we learn. You stick to our system, and that has benefit.
Yeah, and you don't train anywhere else.
No.
These gyms, your coach might let you train at other places, but they might also be a bit awkward to talk to about it. And you might be like, maybe you don't talk to them when you've gone. You mean you don't let them know that you went to an open mat at your friend's academy on the weekend.
Not in an open relationship.
Because you know that it's just going to create a bit of a, like, oh, why'd you go there?
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing.
What, you don't love your instructor?
Yeah, that is a hallmark of like of this loyalty culture.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're coming from a more new school place, they don't give a fuck.
Nah, go right? Train wherever you want.
Yeah, like they it's just not a problem.
No.
Right?
It's not generally a consideration.
Yeah.
Because also I think with that kind of more new school approach, which I definitely ascribe to, it's the idea, and I've been very fortunate to train at many gyms. I mean, obviously, whatever gym I was affiliated under, I competed under that gym. But the instructors that I trained with, they knew that if I went to a different gym, they would encourage me to bring back new info. It's kind of like doing a recon mission. Not like a spy, but like go there. How do they do the thing?
Yeah.
By bringing back new knowledge, that strengthens the knowledge base of what we do here. And that approach to me, like part of the reason, like, so I started at Peter DeBean's gym and I also trained with Dan Cherubin down in Geelong. I used to go down once a week. And at one stage, Dan Cherubin was under Peter DeBean. They had a falling out, which was a bit of a tragedy because it's like a father-son setup. They were no longer affiliated. Dan said to me, you can come train here whenever you want, bro. You're always welcome. That's it. And sometimes he wouldn't even charge me, which is crazy. Pete was like, nah, if you train there, you can't train here. And I was like, that's a bit shit. And what I realized was I was actually not learning that much at Pete's. And every time I went to Dan's, I learned something new and cool. So I was like, you know what? It's worth the journey. I'm going to fucking go to Geelong. So that's what I did. I left Peter DeBean's when I was a blue belt. And I trained under Dan for 3 or 4 years. And I used to travel to Geelong 4 to 5 times a week.
How far is that? How that travel?
Hour and 10, hour and 20.
Both ways?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Just to train jiu-jitsu.
I quit my job.
Yeah.
I was living on the streets to go down there.
I broke up with my girlfriend. Yeah. I developed a cocaine habit.
I'm a fucking black belt now, bitch. Look at me.
I'm a crack addict. No, it was amazing because like it was an investment that really made it made me value the info.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, they had a much more open approach.
And I guess so when we're framing this, obviously we're leaning towards the new school.
Yes.
But we're also trying to recognize that like the old school has value as well. And there are parts to some of these characteristics or hallmarks that are of benefit. The loyalty thing, if you think about a time in like feudal era Japan,
yeah,
where, you know, we are training here, this is our team,
our family,
this is our family, we are martial artists, there is a spiritual thing going on here,
code,
I am your coach. I don't even know back then, I'm guessing people weren't paying for things, it was like a passing down of information, maybe there was, but it wasn't so much a business.
Well,
right? It was more of a way of life.
Well, even Shandi was saying it was much more tribal.
Yes.
Like us versus them.
Exactly. So in that way, it's like, yeah, it makes sense that like, hey, if you are part of this, you are part of this. You don't train with them.
Yeah. But it's a very us versus them mentality.
It is. And, you know, there is some benefit to a bit of that in a martial arts context.
Mm.
You know, there is benefit to sticking by your team. Like, you don't just want to have a team where it's like, hey guys, everyone go wherever they want and let's all meet back here. And like, there is an element of, no, this is our fucking team and you got to be a part of this.
And belonging is important for a lot of people.
Exactly right. Identity, you know, like all that shit. So in that way, I don't think it's all or nothing either way. However, I would argue that the old school jiu-jitsu culture has taken that idea of loyalty and turned it into a bit of a
emotional
blackmail kind of thing. Where really it's not about loyalty, it's about the leadership having a scarcity mindset.
Yeah.
And they're scared that if you go somewhere else, you're gonna leave them.
Yes.
And that scarcity mindset, that implies that they don't think there's enough people to go around, so I've got to hold on to everything I can.
Yeah.
Whereas the, you know, like Dan Cherubin, like the more new school thing is like, no, there's plenty of people that want to train jiu-jitsu, and if I do a really good job and I allow my students to enjoy it, they're going to want to come and train here.
Yeah.
And there's enough for everyone. It's more of an abundance thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's difficult because it's almost like whatever you might have, you have a partner. Do you want the jealous, like, where are you right now type partner? Or you want the partner being like, that's cool. Check in, let me know you're okay.
Yeah.
Like, we all know what it's like to have that real...
Everyone wants the green light, but do you really want the green light?
Yes.
Do you want them to have the green light?
Oh, that's it, yeah.
Good call. Yeah, that's right. Like, a little bit of jealousy, right? Like, to let you know that they care about you.
Obviously.
But not like the hardcore possessive crazy bitch that you're like, fucking hell, man, I'd come down the street to get a coffee. Like, I'll be back in 5 minutes.
I saw you with that cute barista. Yeah. Like, you told me to come here to get your coffee. You love the coffee from here. I didn't know she was on shift. But I'll get 2 sugars. So I think it's one of those things that the thing which is kind of missing here is that we do live in an age of business. And it's no longer Feudal Era Japan.
Mm.
And you're paying for a service. So what kind of service do you want? So this is where we're going to talk a little bit about learning and techniques and things like that. So what is a hallmark of the old school is no new shit.
Close guard, jiu-jitsu fundamentals, half guard, kimuras. Half guard,
yeah.
Pretty much cycling through those three things. Mata Leon. If they're calling it the Mata Leon... Old school jiu-jitsu.
If they call it a rear strangle, you know you're training at New Wave.
That's where you need to be.
So it's interesting because this no new things approach, even though it can be good when you start as a beginner because you get very solid fundamentals, it tops out quite quickly because as an adult, you're used to being able to choose your own adventure. You're not a child. You're not being dictated to anymore.
Unless your name's Mikey. Yeah.
But then you're like, you go to yourself, you know, maybe I want to learn this Birimbolo thing. Hey, we just play guard here, but I kind of want to learn some judo. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, oh, maybe something else.
Hey, wrestling up.
What's that about?
What is that?
Yeah, what are these secret leg locks? And I think the difficult, like, to contrast that, new school is like, what's current?
What works?
What's hot?
What's Gordon doing?
Yeah, what? Yeah.
What's working in competition?
What just happened?
Yeah.
What's new? Like, this has pros in some ways because it does keep people paying attention to how the game evolves, but it can also be distracting, right?
Well, yeah, like the obvious pros of that are, like, you go to and train at a new school gym and people are working on it and everyone's getting better.
Mm.
Like, and they're becoming effective at winning.
Right.
Right? Effective at control, at submissions, like that whole shit. But yeah, what are the downsides to that?
I think the difficulty here is if you're someone who hasn't even got a grasp on the basics and your coach is like, all right, today we're doing Birimbolo. Just, you know, it's 15 variations. We're going to look at it from the Miao perspective. We're going to do the Mendez version. And then we're going to go to the new Levi Jones Leary version. You're like, what the fuck? What's a Delahiva? What are we doing?
Yeah, it's guard retention.
Yeah. So one of the hardest things is when I first started in jiu-jitsu, we just did close guard. And I have short legs. And so I developed very strong adductors as a result. But I really struggled to be successful with that. So then I learned a bit of half guard over time. But I just felt like I sucked at jiu-jitsu. And then I learned about Marcelo Garcia and X-Guard. And I mentioned to someone, like, hey, man, you heard this Marcelo guy? He's like, phew, don't bring that up with the coach. You'll never get your blue belt. Because I was like, why would you block knowledge?
Why would you ignore 50% of the human body?
You know, I just thought, like, you know, this X-Guard thing, like, maybe it could work for me. I got short legs. Like, that could be cool. And it just didn't sit with me because I always love learning new things. I love learning as a rule. And there was a real rock-hard resistance to new stuff.
Yeah.
Now, you don't talk that shit in this house.
Yeah.
Get out of here with your potty mouth.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was just really – and I was like, oh, that's a bit – gross, but that was just me. Whereas for someone else, they're like, yeah, I'm good with the fundamentals. It's what I know. It's what I like. That's familiar. But I think there is a real delineation here between, even though that might be easy when you start to get to blue and purple and people start hitting these bolos on you and start footlocking you and, you know, start doing worm guard, you're fucking lost.
Yeah.
And your coach has no fucking answers for you. So I believe that the value is, if you are at an old school gym and you're new, that's not necessarily bad. You're still going to probably
get not at all
good fundamentals.
Yeah,
But I think later down the track, it can negatively impact you.
Yeah, I would agree. It can be problematic, especially if the line of the gym is to stay fundamental for everyone. Mm. Whereas, like, if that gym was like, hey, yeah, for all of our white and, I don't know, even early blue belts, it's like we follow a pretty fundamental curriculum. But then after that, things evolve and we start to bring in more. Then, okay, that's great. Like, that's best of both worlds in a sense. Yeah, I mean, you've all had that experience where you get to a gym that's like new school and you're training with, I don't know, some white or blue belt and they're fucking entering entanglements and you're like, holy shit.
What's happening?
Like high-level stuff. And then you smash that and then they just let you pass their guard and they got no defenses.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, this person has been working on leg entanglements since day one, but nothing else.
Yeah.
And that's the case where it's like, all right, well, maybe some more fundamentals and basic curriculum for that person could be of benefit.
That's right. They don't have a well-rounded understanding of jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
But I think it's difficult for anybody who's in the first couple of years of jiu-jitsu to really delineate. Like, you know, sure, I mean, you can choose a style, but I remember chatting to this one guy. I won't name him. He was a blue belt. He was all about the bolos. He was all about the meow style. And he had this guy, and he basically swept him, but he wouldn't come up. And I was watching him roll, and I said to him, dude, why didn't you come up? He's like, well, if I came up, then I could have got swept. And I'm like, just fucking pass. Like, get your points and pass. Not enough. He's like, well, if I can't just go straight to the back, then I won't do it. And I'm like, dude, your jiu-jitsu is fucked. Like, you just – I'll sprint. Like, I want to just sprint all the time. Oh, I don't want to learn running technique. No, just let me run as hard as I can. It's like, dude, like, if you break down your technique, it might actually help you sprint better.
Yeah.
You know? So let's go to the next thing.
What's tricky with that, I think, right, is like you might be at the place that is a bit more old school with that and like doing the thing and that's all great. But then you go and learn some shit at an open mat or a seminar that's new school and then you come back and you want to – And I know this of some gyms that have actually like literally said, the coaches said to the students, they'll see them using some kind of technique in a role and they'll be like, I haven't taught you that.
Yeah. Hey.
Like hey. Implying stop that.
Because don't do that.
I haven't shown that to you yet.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa. That's
a cringe.
Yeah. That says a lot about someone's insecurity. You know, to be like putting a stop to this fucking creativity right now.
Don't you use effective techniques against our less effective techniques?
That's right.
The fuck?
I dare you undermine our techniques.
Yeah, and I have seen that too. I actually copped that in judo. I was
went for a double leg and the dude's like...
Well, no, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to double leg. But I did a throw that I just saw on YouTube. I was like, oh, that looks mad. I'm going to just try that shit at morning class. And coach was like, what are you doing, Dr. YouTube? I was like, I got a doctorate now? All right. But I was like, what do you mean? There's like,
channel's been monetized. Thank you very much.
Like and subscribe. No, I didn't. He's like, you didn't learn that here. I never showed you that. And I'm like, yeah, but I just ip on that guy. He's like, yeah, but that's bullshit. Like, that's like, it's a fluke.
Yeah.
I was like, but I literally watched a video and I executed a throw. Isn't that good? No, we don't, like, we're not doing that. And I was like, what the fuck? How dumb is that?
You're like, I came to judo because I wanted the new school.
Not at all. We're still bowing to the photos on the wall, but that's fine. Like, I don't mind. I guess the thing which I love about judo is the savagery more than anything. But yeah, it is old school. But it was just interesting that it's that we don't allow that here. And we've talked about this before. Like, if you're paying a gym membership and there's barbells and there's machines and there's everything, and you try and do a deadlift, they go, no, no, no. We don't allow deadlifts here. You're like, but it's a very effective strength exercise. Like, no, that's not allowed. You're like, well, fuck this gym. It's my rebellious teenage self. I don't like anyone telling me what to do. But I mean, let's talk about something else, which is belts. Because some gyms, you can, you know, you could be a pretty open discourse with your instructor. Your instructor might even initiate it, say, hey, see you working hard, that next belt's close, you know? Yeah, it's a bit of a carrot. Whereas if you even try and... Some gyms, it's just so taboo.
If you talk about it, you get reset back to white belt.
Yeah, you're not going to get that belt for another 2-3 years.
You're like, shh, don't talk about it. Yeah.
It's like a secret. And that seems... To me, it seems strange. I understand that different coaches grade differently because they're not just grading on skill, they're grading on personal development, and they might also be sandbagging you because they want to win more tournaments or whatever. But... for sure, there was a guy by the nickname of Fondles at Peter Devine's gym. Such a good nickname. They had brutal nicknames at the gym. And he had beaten everybody at white belt. He was playing deep half at white belt. So Pete already didn't like that.
Yeah.
And he was just getting deep half and sweeping everybody and just winning like that. And he won every major comp at white belt. He was a four-stripe white belt. And he just being a fucking bit of a douche, but was like, so Pete, what about that blue belt? And he was like, that's going to be one more year, Fondles. One more year. You can wait.
Everyone in the room was like, oh!
And yeah. That pretty much, he just sat on that white belt for another year, smashed everybody with. Yeah,
bad things happen to bad people, Fondles.
Shout out, my guy, if you're hearing this. But it is strange.
It's such an old school thing, this don't talk about belts. And, you know, whatever, there's something in that, right? Because, the belt shouldn't be why you're doing it and all those things. But there's also a case for, like, you're a person who's coming and paying to learn this thing and you want to know that you're getting growth and development, and maybe sometimes you don't feel like that. And so, you know, being able to say to your coach, hey, I really want to get to my blue belt or my purple belt.
What does it take?
Yeah, what do you need to see from me? Like, you should totally be able to ask that.
Mm.
If you were asking about it at every class, then okay, you're a fucking idiot.
Sure.
But, you know, like having that as an honest conversation every now and again should totally be on the cards.
And I think just communicating to students what it takes, that's good. I mean, obviously you might see the people who get graded and you go, oh, what does that person do? You might ask them. But like anything, like if you're in a job, if you're keen to work your way up in an organization, maintain a certain job.
Whose dick do I got to suck around here?
It's going to be very clear.
About, oh, Julian.
It's going to be so. You're trying to get that C-suite executive. But that's one of those things, right? Like, it's so much easier if you're in a workplace where they're like, well, if you want to make manager, you have to do...
Here's the KPIs.
KPIs. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, cool. Holy goodness, that's going to take a lot of work. Or, yeah. Okay, I can do that. I can achieve
right,
that.
Right, now the expectation mystical has become like objective. I can see it.
Clear.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But when you're in this kind of paternal, I am the father, you are the child, you would do as I say, that's kind of... To me, that's just kind of bullshit. We're grown up.
Yeah.
Like, it's not in any way contemptful or disrespectful to just ask, if you let me know what I need to do, I'll do it. So just tell me what you need and I'll do my best to meet your expectation. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I think that is a major weakness in retention for old school gyms. Part of the reason why people leave is they don't want to be on a belt for 10 years and not know why.
Well, I would say it goes both ways, because you could also make the point that a lot of old school gyms have very strict structures in place for grading.
Yeah.
Right? They have like grading nights that happen at these intervals and it's all very structured and everyone comes to the... And in that way, they probably... Some of those gyms would have more of a view on each of the students' progress.
Potentially.
Than the new school gym is just like, hey, show up and bang. Like, that's what we're doing here.
Maybe.
You know, because you get to some of those gyms and you're like, man, everyone here on the mats here is a savage, but they're all white belts.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, some of these people could probably be a blue belt by now.
So you're saying that the lack of structure, and this isn't, we're generalizing here, guys, but that some of the more new school gyms have less structure.
Yeah. So
therefore, it's not clear.
Yeah. And so I'm saying like, yeah, old school gyms definitely do kind of wield it as a bit of a power. But I think that a student can go unnoticed in both styles of academy.
Yeah, that's totally – yeah, I see that for sure. Now, locals only.
Ooh.
So this is a bit of – like in Australia, in kind of beach culture back in the day, it's maybe not so much now, but depending on where you go surf, if you were trying to go to a particular beach, if there were locals and they didn't want you dropping in on them and they didn't want you taking the waves – you know, some beaches were locals only. You would get in a fight.
Yeah,
you
get bashed.
Dudes would beat you up if you came to their beach.
Or like fucking cut your board, snap it, whatever, like leg rope, yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that. And so some gyms are very much a no-drop-in gym.
One of the best ad campaigns for the gym that I started at, Roots in Bondi, was fucking sick, actually. Right. They had an ad in the local like Bondi kind of magazine called The Beast, and it was a picture of – it said – surf wherever you damn please. And it was a picture of Paulo, who was the coach, in boardies, Kimuraing some other guy on the beach with the surfboard. Like, they're basically coming out and he's just
beach
smashing.
Beach fight.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's fucking sick. Yeah.
Old school Rio.
Yeah.
Amazing. Man. Anyways. But how interesting the irony there is.
Old school as fuck.
Old school as fuck. I don't know if he, you know, he's that partial to drop-ins unless you sign up for life.
No. So, yeah, what we're saying there is, yeah, the old school, you tend not to see a lot of visitors coming through. No. Because it is kind of a bit of a closed culture. And it's like, we don't want outside influence. And it's not necessarily the case that the coach like openly says that. But they're just not the kinds of gyms that encourage visitors to come through.
No.
Whereas new school places, you've often got people passing through, don't you? Because yeah. they're like, yeah, fucking hey, jump on. Yeah. Like, yeah, come, let's, we'll show you some shit. There's no kind of protection over the methods or whatever.
Yeah. I think the idea is like jiu-jitsu back in the day was kind of secret. Like, we got the secret magic, you know. Yeah. We don't want just randoms learning it. We'll only reveal the magic to you if you are part of the brotherhood, and it's like protected. And the internet now has just made it so kind of bipartisan. Like, if you want to know a sweep, you just search it on YouTube. There's a million dudes showing you how to do it. It's free. Or you can just buy an instructional from a famous guy, or. You know, the access to information has
shit, been... Shit, you can buy instructionals from non-famous cats.
Exactly.
Everyone's got one.
Yeah.
We fucking got one.
Yeah, true.
Not on jiu-jitsu.
Not jiu-jitsu, yeah. But yeah, like, I guess it's just one of those things that the democratization of information through the internet.
Yeah.
Right? So there's no secrets anymore. It's just, who do you want to hang out with, really?
Yeah.
And the thing on this is, the difference between no drop-in versus everyone's welcome... Everyone's welcome creates quite a transient state. So you're going to see new people all the time. And that's cool in ways, but also you can get a bit lost in that. There's not as much belonging. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it's less exclusive.
It's not like a cheers where everyone knows your name.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's a map where maybe one guy knows your name.
Yeah. And if we're talking that thing like if you're paying to go to this place and for you it's like a special thing – well, a closed culture, that might really be what suits you, because it's nice, because it's like, hey, this is the team, guys.
These are my people.
Versus, hey, I'm just teaching this shit and there's a bunch of randoms here and these two, and it's kind of like whoever's got the good jits kind of thing.
Yeah. And look, I even know this like going into Absolute, because like I haven't trained there in years. Like, I moved to Sydney 2020, so the last time I trained at Absolute was in 2019. And I go in there and people don't know who I am. And I'm like, bad day for you, motherfucker. Whereas the people who know.
I was like, I'm to my second class.
If you know, you know. But I mean, but that's because most of the time I go in there, it's usually no gi because I'm traveling. And you can't tell, you know, what grade people are based on their rash guard. Usually just look at their ears and the facial scars.
Yep.
But usually you look at who shakes hands with who. If someone walks in the room and all the black belts acknowledge them, you're like, that could be a black belt. Or that could be a dangerous person, you know? And so I've had some pretty serious level disrespect from dudes who just didn't know who I was. And so you're like, tap them real quick, and they're like, ugh. You're like, how long have you been training? A year, 2 days, and 6 hours? You're about to have a bad time, bro. But yeah, it's interesting because like I don't mind, because obviously my friends are there. I love them. They're my homies. That's my jiu-jitsu home. And there's always going to be new kids, and that's cool. But I do often feel – not. I don't feel lost. I do feel a little bit invisible. I only get recognized by a couple of people.
Yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of new people who just, like, don't care. And so it does have less of a group vibe.
I mean, arguably, though, if you were training there regularly, that wouldn't be the case, right?
No,
it did have a lot of visitors.
No, but they have big mat. Like, yeah. When you've got 50 to 80 people on a mat –
dude, did you see Tynan Dalpra's Instagram post? He had 101 people at his 6 a.m. class.
Oh, my God.
Fucking Matt was packed. Just, amazing, yeah.
It's awesome. It's awesome when you get that. And I think this is where we're talking about those pros and cons, that if you do like, you know, cheers where everybody knows your name, you know, like that, if you want to feel like, oh, that's my guy and that's my whatever, there's pros and cons to everything, and maybe a more old school gym makes you feel like you belong.
Yeah, that might totally be what suits you in that situation.
But then also, you don't want to be chastised by a coach because you're trying to do a pass that works because your coach didn't show you that. Like, that's...
Sure, but I suppose the thing to recognize there is that, you know, it's often never perfect.
Yes.
Right? Like you never get the perfect location.
Yeah.
And so in that way, you might be like, well, coach doesn't like us training elsewhere, but I kind of dig everything, all the other ways it operates, in which case,
yeah,
you know, I cop that.
Yeah. And I think this is like a relationship advice. I can't remember who said this. They said the person you end up with is the person with the faults that you can put up with the best. Like, right. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not
is
about.
That, is that a, like a real like pessimistic way to look at relationships?
It could be, but yeah. At the end of the day, everyone has faults. You just got to be cool with the faults.
Yeah.
If the faults are irreconcilable, then it's never going to, it doesn't matter how good the good is.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? If yeah. you can't take the bad, it's not happening. Now, martial arts versus athletics, Joe. Let's talk that.
Yeah. So, you know, we did this episode. I can't remember. We were talking about belts. Do belts matter? And sure. A lot of people commented on the YouTube. I remember this is a long time. This is a year or so ago. But what was a really good comment from someone was that, like, they were like, I'm about belts all day because I'm about martial arts, not competition, not sports. Yeah. And I was like, that is an interesting categorization. The old school thing does typically, from a cultural point of view, tie itself more towards martial arts.
Hierarchy.
Yep. Whereas new school jiu-jitsu really is about being the best competitor.
Skills.
Yeah. And it's like that in all the stuff we see, like the techniques that are working, yeah, go train there so you can get new techniques, the democratization of information. It's all about everyone getting better.
Yeah.
Which is obviously awesome. That's why we're here. However, sometimes that does come at the expense of the martial arts side. And the martial arts thing is like, you know, what is that? Maybe it is values like loyalty and family and discipline and, you know, yeah, and like hierarchy and yeah. et cetera, et cetera. So in that case, I think it's an interesting thing to kind of consider for yourself. I'm not a competitor. I've never been a jiu-jitsu. I mean, I have in periods competed, but I don't consider myself to be a competitor. And in some ways, I've looked at some of the places I've trained. I'm like, oh, I would like more of a martial arts vibe sometimes.
Sure.
Bow when you step on the mats.
Yep.
Greet higher belts first.
Yes.
Greet everyone before you, you know, things everyone. Like that.
Yeah.
Don't smoke cigarettes out the window, you know, before yeah. you jump on the mats.
Sure.
You know, like I liked some of that shit.
Yeah.
Maybe some people don't. They're like, nah, I just want to show up and fucking like learn the killer leg locks.
Do my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I have been a competitor for a long time and I always wanted to be the best at a thing. But I have a traditional martial arts background, so maybe I just got enough of that. 15 years of Taekwondo was enough bowing and enough structure and all of that to be like, you know what, I like something that's more relaxed. I mean, I always bow before I walk onto the mat because that's just, it's just something I do as a way of kind of honoring the space, you know? It's just like, this is a place I need to respect. This mat, I respect that. That's just me. I know for some other people that sounds silly, and that's cool. Like it's you derive whatever meaning you give it. I guess the thing for me is with I don't think it's as simple as new school is just this and old school is just that. The difficulty is athletics, no-gi, what's popular tends to become the mainstream.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And so if we look at karate, which was real hot in the 70s, where the fuck is it now? Like it's dying in the ass because we have the UFC and there's more effective fighting styles. You know, if you didn't know how to fight, you could box, or you could do karate. Cool. And that's what the mainstream knew. But now people are aware of the UFC. People are aware of the ADCC. Like jiu-jitsu is coming into the kind of collective consciousness of the mainstream. So I think what we may see, and I had asked a few people smarter than me about this, more informed than me about this, was they were like, basically, jiu-jitsu in the gi and more traditional forms is something that you can do for longer in life. Like you can do it when you're 50 and you're 60 because there's more control and things like this. Whereas the new school, even though it'll get the young guys in, it's so much more athletically demanding and it's so much more taxing. You can't be 50 and be like, yeah, I'll just do the ADCC class. No, you've already got ligaments that are snapped or you've already got arthritis in your hands.
Yeah.
It's the idea that the gi and traditional martial arts will always be there. It's as to whether or not it gets the same shine. And I think we're actually at an inflection point where as jiu-jitsu becomes more mainstream, whichever is most popular, which I believe is the athletic side of things, will get the majority of the attention. And therefore, the more money, it will be more celebrated.
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah, and, it's and more exciting.
That's okay.
Yeah, better spectator thing and all that.
And so I think it's that's where people will probably make choices. So if you're a jiu-jitsu dad, you're like, man, I don't want to bang with the 21-year-olds who are putting their ligaments on the line.
Yeah.
I think I
want to. It'll grow back, bruh.
Regenerative.
No, it won't.
I'll just get a bionic knee. Fuck it. Depending on how you feel about it, we will see, I believe, more and more people later in life are coming to jiu-jitsu. We will see them possibly leaning more towards the gi and more towards traditional. I believe it has greater longevity. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that, yeah, kind of like in conclusion of this, right, it's like neither is better.
No.
They're just, it's a different approach and different a different flavors. Culture. And there's obviously limitations to both. And I do think that the old school jiu-jitsu as we know it, at least as we know it here in Australia, is a little bit toxic, does have some toxic elements to it.
It does, yeah. But look, if you're into misogyny and closed-mindedness, and that might be your brand.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Try it out.
Stay happy. but there are gyms that are doing the best of both worlds.
Yes.
You know, and you can merge it. I believe you can have the loyalty and the discipline and the structure and all of those things, but you can also be progressive and open and, you know, and it's whatever. Hopefully this discussion has raised some people to like maybe reflect on, you know, what it is that they're getting from their academy or they're not getting that they need. Or maybe it's people who are running academies like, oh shit, you know what? Maybe I could be a little bit more like that or change things.
Yeah. And the thing I've seen with the whole gym politics thing is like, you could be the change. So a friend of mine was imagine.
There we go.
He was a purple belt. He ended up, because his coach was like, I don't want to learn this shit, but you like it. So he ended up teaching like a leg lock class because he was into it. So that was kind of cool at their gym. You could go.
Everyone's like, holy shit, all leg locks.
The new stuff. Yeah. All right. And the coach was like, well, I don't want to, you know, he didn't accept the limitation in himself. He's like, well, you learn it, you get good at it, and then you teach the kids, you know, go for it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool. So I think it's possible.
Dude, for Adam Childs, Vantage.
Yeah.
He is a prime example of someone who's probably come from more of an older school lineage.
Mm.
Not saying that Alliance was not progressive, but, you know, it's an old school, like, fucking stalwart of the game. And he has openly progressed things in his academy as they've become part of the collective conscious. So, like, with the leg locks thing, he's like, guys, I don't fucking know much about this leg lock shit, so that's what we're working on in no-gi.
Yeah, cool.
And every class, it was him learning it while teaching it to us, yeah, and everyone getting better.
That's nice.
It was like no qualms about, hey, I'm shit at this part of it. Like, he was really happy to say that.
Mm.
And I think that just as an acknowledgement of, like, no one expects you as the coach to be the best at absolutely everything.
No.
So if you can just fucking own that, then it allows everyone to progress, right?
Yeah, the humility of that is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Thanks, man.